Chapter 7. Janine and I both slept in until 10 o'clock the next morning. Neither of us had the foresight to set an alarm, so the next thing I knew, I was waking up to the sound of tweeting birds outside. Well, that and the Dave Matthews Band music blaring from the other room. Frickin' frat boys. Still, the most important thing to see was Janine was still there, in my arms. I hadn't just dreamt the whole thing up. We'd actually made love last night, and then cuddled together until the break of dawn. I didn't know what was crazier, sleeping with the girl of my dreams or turning into a werepanther. Well, maybe the werepanther thing was crazier, but only by a little bit. "Good morning, sunshine," I whispered as I ran my hand through Janine's hair. "Did you sleep well?"
"Did I?"
Janine giggled through a yawn.
"Oh, I slept like I was dead. You really took it out of me."
"Ditto." I winked at the redhead. "I'm still not sure I can walk."
"I'm sure you can. Your wounds heal when you turn back, don't they? Mine, on the other hand? Oh, let's just say I might be waddling to the car."
"Did I really change back, though? I didn't even go full werepanther."
"You went at least halfway, which, in retrospect, is a much bigger deal than I made it out to be in the moment."
"Well, don't feel bad. We were both a little distracted when it happened."
"It is a big deal, though, Carter,"
the archaeology student said as she propped herself up.
"This means it is possible for you to control it if you want to."
"Maybe. But I don't think we'll have the time to get into a whole lovemaking session every time I want to turn into a panther man."
"That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is this shows it's possible for you. Before last night, we only knew other werepanthers could change at will, but we didn't know if you could or not."
"We also seem to have found what triggers me into turning back into a human. Your pretty face."
"Oh, stop."
Janine snorted, and then she kissed my chest playfully. "It's true. It happened in the forest when I first turned, and then again when I hulked out in here, and then again when we were in the middle of our nocturnal activities. Seeing your face and hearing your voice brought me back."
"'Twas beauty that tamed the beast." "That's still only half of the equation, though. We need to figure out what triggers your change in the first place. Which means going back to the library and doing some more research."
"I don't know if going back to the library is a good idea," I said slowly, as I thought of the OLG members in their red robes. "Couldn't we just do online research or something?"
"We could,"
Janine allowed as she pressed her lips into a thin line.
"The problem with online research is that there is so much content, and very little of it is vetted or verified. We could spend hours, days, even, combing through crazy people's conspiracies and find nothing of substance. But the library has rare books and first-hand accounts we won't be able to find on Google. Plus, time is of the essence right now. We need to find out more about your werepantherness, and fast if we're going to keep you alive."
"But what if the OLG is just waiting for us in the library?" I asked with a raised eyebrow.
"After yesterday's debacle, I'm sure they'll want to lay low for a bit,"
the redhead reasoned.
"Security intentions are going to be amped up, and men in red robes are sure to draw attention."
"Those are all very good points."
"I wouldn't have made it very far in my degree if I didn't know how to craft a compelling argument,"
Janine smirked. "Yeah, yeah. Well, if we're heading to the library, we better get out of here then. I'm pretty sure checkout is at 11. Also, I'm going to need a new phone since those bastards tossed mine in the Ohio River. Can we stop by a Save-A-Lot or something on the way?"
"I think that's manageable. You're going to need my number anyways, and you can't really do anything with it if you don't have a phone."
Janine and I both got out of bed and pulled our clothes back on. Mine had a few rips and stretched seams from when I'd torn my clothes off before my transformation the night before, but they were still wearable. We then proceeded into the main lobby, where we checked out and turned in our room keys. But as we headed out into the parking lot of the Sleep Time Inn, I couldn't help but laugh at all the frat boys who were passed out on top of the roofs and hoods of their cars. "Hey!" the douche canoe Toby slurred as we passed him by. "Go, Janine! Woo-hoo!"
"Woo-woo!"
Janine turned and practically screamed in his face.
"Not so loud, my guys,"
he grumbled as he turned and covered his ears.
I think I'm nursing a hangover."
"You think?" I laughed. And then we walked away from the living mess of a man and got into Janine's Grand Prix and set off back to campus. Along the way, we stopped by a nearby convenience store, but realization dawned on me as I stepped out of the car. "Ah, my wallet is gone too," I grumbled as I patted my pockets.
"I'll spot you on this one.
Janine said with a wink, and then she pulled out a credit card and handed it over. I'll pay you back, I promised, and then I went inside. I grabbed the first prepaid device I found, which was a cheap-as-shit smartphone that only cost $30, and came loaded with a few thousand text messages and call minutes. I paid for the device, ran back to the car, and thanked Janine again. And as we continued back toward campus, I messed around with the phone until it was set up and good to go. Finally, I performed the most important step. I put Janine's number into my contacts, and a possessive but satisfied flame flared up in my chest. It was a bit out of order, since we'd had mind-blowing sex the night before, but now I also had my dream girl's phone number. The remaining drive was a little longer due to the traffic of commuters trying to get to their morning classes, but we had no trouble at all finding a parking spot on the edge of campus that was closest to the Bleggan Library. However, as Janine killed the engine, I couldn't help but let my paranoia take over. Were we being watched right now? Did the OLG have members posted at spots where they thought we'd most likely be? Janine must have picked up on my concern, because she simply looked over at me and frowned.
I know it's dangerous to even be here, but this is another opportunity for you to test your abilities. You have enhanced senses, right? So maybe if you try to listen to them and focus on the world around you, you'll be able to know if any cultists are watching or stalking us.
I can try. The only reason I knew that dude in the library was bad news was because I heard the sound of his knife clinking against the sheath.
That's exactly what you need to do again!
Janine clapped her hands together.
Just on a larger scale! And for longer.
Alright, I'll do my best. Hopefully that'll be enough. I wonder if my theory about the Romans was...
Holy fuck, Carter.
Janine cut me off as she stared down at her phone.
Did you get the news notification?
No. This phone can basically just make calls and texts, but even when I had my smartphone, I tried not to follow the news if I could help it. It's too depressing. But what's up?
10 men found mauled near UC campus.
She read off the screen.
At 4 p.m. yesterday, the remains of 10 men were found by a hiker in the woods in southern Fairfield. Police on the scene told reporters each of the men were killed in various gruesome ways, including a few who were missing their heads, and another whose arms and legs were removed from his body. All 10 of the men were dressed in matching outfits, which has led some investigators to believe this was a sort of fraternity ceremony gone wrong. Foul play was suspected, but the Fairfield police report a rabid wild animal is more likely the culprit. These killings came just one day before the deadly accident at the University of Cincinnati, where multiple men were crushed to death by a collapsing wall, but investigators say there is no connection between the two tragic events.
Fuck. They didn't even get into the good stuff.
I knew they'd find the bodies sooner or later. But now it just... I don't know. It feels even more real now, if that makes sense.
You didn't kill anybody. Shit, I don't even know if I killed anybody. For all I know, this monster inside of me is a completely different person.
Doubtful.
Janine shook her head.
If that was the case, you wouldn't be able to talk to me like you do when you're in panther mode.
Fair enough. We should probably get out of the car. With the OLG sniffing around campus, I don't want to stay in one place for too long, especially if we're isolated and alone. Janine nodded, so we got out of her sedan and then started down the sidewalk toward Bleggan. As we walked, my eyes darted back and forth looking for anyone who seemed even the slightest bit suspicious, or anyone who was wearing the crimson-red robes of the OLG. I tried to stay focused on listening for any threats as well, but it was kind of hard with the everyday campus commotion going on around me. Then I heard something that stood out above the rest of the noise. Footsteps fast approaching, along with an increased heartbeat. I picked up my pace and motioned for Janine to do the same.
Carter? What's wrong?
Somebody's following us.
God damn it.
Janine whispered as she followed my stride. If we could lose this guy, then maybe we could get ourselves back to the car or into the library in one piece. There were dozens of students around us at the moment, so I didn't think our pursuer was going to start lobbing magic at us yet. As Janine and I walked faster, though, the sound of our shadow grew faint. I could still hear their footsteps, but they were now much slower, and the person's heartbeat was racing a mile a minute. Their breaths seemed to be more labored as well, and even from all the way over here, I could hear their blood pulsing through their veins in splurts. Then I heard the guy let out a cough that sounded like a middle-aged dad hacking up his lungs. "Hold on," I announced as I stopped in place. "I don't think the OLG is chasing us."
"How can you be so sure?"
the redhead asked as her eyes darted around.
"Well, for one, the shortest bit of physical activity seems to kick this guy's ass. Like, I think if he keeps chasing us, he's going to have a heart attack."
That is definitely not somebody in the Order of the Lunar God.
Janine agreed with a relieved sigh.
They expel any members who are not physically fit, since they believe anybody who isn't at peak physicality can't successfully fulfill the wishes of Khonsu.
So, who's following us then? I asked as the footsteps slowly plodded closer. Whoever it was, it sounded like their heart was going into overdrive.
Miss Beckett!
A blubbery voice called out from behind us.
Wait! Please stop running!
Dr. Hansen?
Janine gasped as a smile spread across her face and she spun on her heels.
You scared the shit out of me!
I turned around with her and then I saw the infamous Dr. Hansen in all his glory. He was a short, stocky man who couldn't have been taller than 5'5". With a balding head he tried to cover up with the world's worst comb-over. The perimeter of the man's noggin was filled with fading black hair, and a few longer bits of his raven-colored locks had been strategically laid over the shiny patches on his head. A pair of oversized square glasses sat upon his bulbous nose, and the dimples in his smooth, round cheeks were enough to make Jennifer Garner jealous. A short goatee also covered the man's chin, though the dark hair was peppered with bits of gray. Dr. Hansen wore a pair of tweed tan pants with a matching blazer, both of which were not fitted to him whatsoever. The shoulders of the blazer were loose and baggy as he approached, and its bottom edge hung down several inches below his waistline. To top it all off, the professor wore a plaid brown vest underneath his jacket, as well as a dull red bow tie. I was getting some serious Danny DeVito vibes just from looking at him.
I'm sorry,
Dr. Hansen panted as he came to a stop. The man doubled over and rested his hands on his thighs as he tried to catch his breath. Every few seconds, he tried to say something, but the words apparently got sucked back into his mouth with a deep inhalation.
It's all right,
Janine chuckled as we both exchanged glances.
Take your time.
Oh, I apologize,
Dr. Hansen said before he stood up, pulled his glasses off his face, and cleaned them against his jacket.
Oh, you run much too fast for an old man like me.
It's all those years of Carter playing baseball,
the redhead noted as she pointed in my direction.
Ah, Carter Hatfield,
the professor said with a smile, and then he extended his hand.
It's so nice to meet you.
How do you know my name? I asked with a raised eyebrow, but I humored the guy. His hands were wet and clammy, and his handshake was something like a wet fish. Dr. Hansen shook my hand for a solid 10 seconds before he finally let it slip away.
Janine talks about you all the time, of course.
Is that so? I shot Janine an amused look, and her face practically glowed red. She talks a lot about me.
Indeed, she has for several months now.
Months, huh? I looked at the redhead as I fought against my smirk, and her face was as red as her hair now.
Yes, and I must say I am happy Miss Beckett has found such a stalwart friend,
the zany professor continued.
Anyways, dear, I wanted to talk to you in private. I believe I've made a great new discovery on that unidentified cryptid case out in Savannah.
The Savannah Scalper?
Janine's eyes lit up.
The very same, including a bit of very intriguing visual evidence that it is the same creature that was hunting in Asheville.
I'd love to see it,
the redhead gushed before realization dawned on her face, and she bit her lip as she glanced over at me.
But, Carter and I were just headed to the library to do some research.
Research?
Hansen smirked.
Janine, have you finally decided on a topic for your doctorate thesis?
I have, but I don't want to reveal what it is until the paper is written.
That's wonderful news,
the professor cheered as he clapped his chubby hands together.
Please, let me know if there's anything you need from me. You know my door is always open to my students. In fact, this is why I was trying to chase you down. This new development on the Savannah Scalper is going to be huge, and I wanted to show it to you first before the press gets here.
I don't know. We've got a long day of research ahead of us.
That was when I got an idea. Janine had said time and time again, this guy was her mentor, and one of the best paranormal and occult academics in the world. Why couldn't we just ask him to answer some of our questions? Sure, we'd have to play it coy and tiptoe around some of the subjects, but this guy could probably help me figure out what the fuck was going on. And as much as I enjoyed spending time with Janine, the thought of sifting through books and articles for the next 12 hours while constantly looking over my shoulder wasn't exactly appealing. I think we should go see his discovery. I'm kind of curious now.
But the research, Carter?
Janine repeated, and I could hear in her voice she was trying to lead me away from her professor. Those books will be there tomorrow. But a discovery about the Savannah Scraper?
Scalper,
Hansen corrected. Scalper, I repeated before I continued.
A discovery about the Savannah Scalper.
That's something we can't pass up.
Also, what do we need those books for? We have a paranormal expert right here.
I like this guy, Janine,
Dr. Hansen said with a goofy grin. Janine's brown eyes narrowed, and I could almost see the gears spinning in her head. She was surely trying to figure out my thought process, but there wasn't exactly much there. I just wanted to pick this guy's brain and see what he knew about the OLG, werepanthers, and anything that might be useful to us moving forward.
Okay,
the archaeology student finally conceded.
This better be something awesome, Hansen.
It is.
The stout man bounced up and down, and then he spun on his heels and began down the sidewalk.
We don't have time for this, Carter,
Janine whispered, as we both began to follow behind the professor.
We need to figure out exactly how to get you into the driver's seat of your transformation.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do. You said it yourself, Janine. This guy knows his shit when it comes to the paranormal. He may already have the answers, and we just have to hear him out.
I'm not sure about this. Hansen might pull off the goofy professor vibe really well, but he's sharp as a tack. If we're not careful, he's going to know exactly what we're doing and figure out our situation. If he hasn't already,
then we'll have to be careful. We followed Dr. Hansen across campus until, finally, we came to one of UC's older buildings. He tossed open the door, led us down to the lowest level of the structure, and then to a door off in some random hallway. This isn't the archaeology department, I said as I looked around. Isn't that in Bronstein Hall?
That is where all my colleagues are, yes, Dr. Hansen confirmed. However, we came to a mutual agreement long ago that I needed some more, unique facilities. You'll see what I mean in a second here.
It's really cool,
Janine giggled. The professor reached into the pocket of his tweed pants, pulled out a red lanyard overstuffed with keys, and then proceeded to fumble around until he found the one he was looking for. He inserted it into the deadbolt of the door and unlocked it with an ear-wrenching scraping noise, and the old door finally creaked open before the three of us stepped inside. My nostrils were instantly assaulted by a mixture of mildew, dust, and a smell I recognized from the archives as old documents. When Dr. Hansen flipped on the lights, though, I nearly fell over in shock. His office was like something out of the Addams Family. Dark brown bookcases were embedded into every inch of wall in the room, from floor to ceiling, and all the way across horizontally. Large wooden chests of different varieties littered the worn-out orange carpet on the floor, as did several pedestals with glass cases on top. There was a huge skeleton hanging in the corner of the office, one that was much too large to be a human's, as well as an oversized globe inside of a rotating golden framework. The professor's desk had to be at least 10 feet wide, and every single spot was covered with papers, books, and notebooks. The desk itself was solid cherry wood with a glazed finish, and I counted 20 individual drawers that ran up and down each side of the piece. Victorian gingerbread carvings had been etched into the wood, and a skimpy black chair rested in between the desk's legs. But what caught my eye most of all was the figure right next to the desk, a giant taxidermied black cat standing on a faux log. A panther. Okay, maybe this wasn't the greatest idea after all.
Come!
Dr. Hansen announced as he gestured to two cheap-looking chairs in front of his desk.
Take a seat and I'll bring the evidence out to you.
Janine and I carefully sat down on the chairs, which creaked and groaned under our weight, and once the professor scurried off to find whatever it was he wanted to show us, I looked over at the redhead.
This is your mentor.
That explains a lot.
Just remember to watch what you say. He's already going to be pressing me about my thesis, and I don't want to give him the impression we're actually experiencing it.
Why? I pointed to the stuffed panther.
You think that's what he wants to do with me?
I don't know. I'm sure neither of us wants to find out, though.
Soon Professor Hansen returned with some sort of artifact in his hand, which was wrapped up in dirty white fabric, and he was as giddy as a schoolboy as he laid the artifact down on the desk and proceeded to unwrap it.
Ah, see?
He declared with a cackle as he held the object up for us to see.
Hard evidence of the Savannah Scalper.
I squinted as I tried to figure out what exactly was in his hand. It was an ivory-white object curved to a point on one end, and a bunch of dings and chips were taken out of it. Is that a claw? I raised an eyebrow.
Indeed it is, Mr. Hatfield.
Dr. Hansen nodded. It's not just any claw, though. Its DNA profile matches nothing in any database it has been tested against. So I believe this to be the claw of the Savannah Scalper itself.
It has to be.
Janine gasped, though she was so giddy she could barely talk.
I mean, look at it! It has the same shape as the eyewitness testimonies, it matches the size descriptions, and it was obviously used to make cuts against bone.
You can tell all that just by looking at it, I asked, as I tried to wrap my brain around what I was seeing.
Yeah, well, it's only a hypothesis. Do you see all these small chips in the keratin? That is because it was trying to cut into something blunt and hard. Now, it might have been trying to cut into a stone or a particularly sturdy tree, but the Savannah Scalper has a calling card.
I'm assuming it scalps people.
Ah, indeed.
The professor smiled.
That's why I agree with Janine's hypothesis, and think all these chips came when the creature was scalping its victims and hit their skull.
Pardon the language, but that's fucking crazy.
Ha ha! The world of the paranormal is a wonderful place, Carter. You're not looking to further your studies after you graduate, are you? You seem bright and observant. And I would love to have somebody like you under my wing as I venture further into the world of the unknown.
I'm just trying to pass my classes with B's and C's. Thanks for the offer, though.
Eh, too bad.
He frowned.
Janine tells me you are quite knowledgeable on Egyptian history, which is the culture that spawned much of the occult symbolism and idols of worship.
Holy fuck, how much did Janine know about me? And how much did she tell this guy? Well, maybe if I ever become a famous historian, we can work together. I winked, though the professor just rolled his eyes.
Not without a higher degree, we won't.
We can't all be like me, Dr. Hansen. Grad school isn't for everyone.
Speaking of grad school, Janine and I wanted to ask you some questions about her thesis. She wanted to do all the research on her own, but I figured you're knowledgeable enough about all this stuff. Janine's just too shy to ask.
Shy?
Dr. Hansen glanced over at his student with a half smile.
Or stubborn?
Probably both.
You know you can always come to me. So please, enlighten me. What topic did you decide on?
Werepanthers,
Janine said, after a few seconds of hesitation.
Ah.
Dr. Hansen trailed off.
Like the one that killed those men in the forest.
My heart stopped in my chest, and my blood ran cold. Fuck me, Janine was right. This guy already knew what was going on.
What makes you so sure it was a werepanther that killed them?
I asked in my best naive voice. I figured it was a pack of rabid coyotes or something.
Ha! Coyotes! A coyote doesn't smash a man's head into a bloody pulp or eviscerate them with a single clean strike. Then there's the fact that they were wearing the robes of the Order of the Lunar God. They're mortal enemies with the werepanthers, so it only makes sense it would have killed them.
He really did have all this figured out, didn't he? I just hoped he hadn't figured out the one detail that really mattered, which was the identity of this werepanther he suspected was lurking around Cincinnati.
This is all stuff we were researching,
Janine said with a calm demeanor, but I noticed she now fidgeted in her seat.
I didn't know there was a werepanther around here, though. It's kind of strange, don't you think? Like, I start my thesis and then suddenly—
Please don't lie to me, Janine.
Dr. Hansen clicked his tongue.
I know you respect me more than that. I know exactly why you chose the topic you did.
I gripped onto my thighs as my teeth ground against each other. A twinge of primal fear boiled up from my stomach, but I swallowed it back down. The last thing I needed was to transform right fucking now.
Please.
Janine scoffed with an awkward laugh.
You're smart, Hansen, but you're not a mind reader.
It's actually pretty simple.
The professor noted as he pushed his glasses up the bridge of his nose.
You heard about the murders, recognized it was a werepanther, and wanted to do more research on the topic. If I know you, which I do, Miss Beckett, then you probably even think you can find this werepanther on your own.
That seems really dangerous. Why the fuck would anyone want to meet one of those things face to face?
Because Janine Beckett is one of the brightest, bravest archaeologists I've ever met,
Dr. Hansen proclaimed with a wide smile.
I don't doubt for a second she will jump headfirst into danger to learn more about this beast, and I have no doubt she will find out who it is, if I don't find out first.
I finally exhaled as the fear left my body and was replaced by a calming relief. Whew, he didn't know I was a werepanther. At least, not yet.
I bet it's long gone by now,
I not so subtly suggested. I mean, if I murdered a bunch of people, I wouldn't want to stick around and wait to get caught. And that's what most would do. But I believe our werepanther is actually still around.
No!
Janine and I both scoffed in unison. It's hard to believe, though it's true. Surely you heard about the incident on campus yesterday, the one where those poor men were crushed by a falling wall. I think the university is covering it up. Actually, maybe not a cover-up. They probably are foolish enough to actually believe it was an accident.
Why wouldn't it have been an accident?
Janine asked, as she crossed her legs and leaned back in her chair.
Because they were also members of the Order of the Lunar God. It was obvious to anyone who paid attention. They found several crude silver daggers at the scene, which is quite literally the calling card of the OLG. But I digress. I'm getting off on a tangent here. Rest assured, I will help you find out the identity of this werepanther, and I will help you do whatever is necessary to remove the threat. Now, what questions can I answer for you?
We're mainly having trouble figuring out how the werepanther thing works. Like, how does one even become a werepanther? And is their transformation random?
It's not random. Though I'm afraid nobody truly knows what causes it. That is an unfortunate side effect of the conflict between Bast and Khonsu. The werepanthers are next to extinct, so there's not much for us to study. And what little research there is can either be confirmed nor denied.
What about the guy in ancient Rome? We were headed down that road before we were, before we called it quits for the night.
Livius Tullus. Does that name mean anything to you, Dr. Hansen?
Oh, it does.
The bald man smirked.
It is the most well-documented case of a werepanther we have. Kudos to you for finding it on your own.
I guess I'm just confused about his powers. In all the other stories I've heard, the transformation is random. Yet, Livius Tullus was able to turn into a werepanther at will.
That is a simple answer, Miss Beckett. The others never had the time to learn how to control their powers. They were all killed by the Order of the Lunar God before they could get that far.
Every single one? How?
Think of it this way, Mr. Hatfield.
The professor trailed off as he held up his hands.
You are part of an ancient fraternity dedicated to the worship of Khonsu. Your sole mission is to do your god's bidding, part of which involves seeking revenge on his arch-nemesis, Bast. Do you not think they have eyes and ears everywhere, scouring the news and the gossip for any signs of their enemy? The second they even hear rumblings about a werepanther, they send everyone out to find them. Most of the poor souls are sacrificed way before they could get their powers figured out.
But the powers can be controlled. It just takes practice?
Maybe it's practice.
Dr. Hansen shrugged.
Or perhaps it's simply a new werepanther needs to adjust to their new powers, and it's a waiting game.
So, what do you think is going to happen with the werepanther around here? Do you think the OLG will kill them?
They've already tried twice,
Dr. Hansen said with a shrug.
They won't stop until it's dead. It's part of their indoctrination.
So, then, there's no end in sight?
I gulped. Mr. Hatfield, this is a war that has been going on since the dawn of time itself. As long as one side is still standing, it will never end. And frankly, my money would be on the side of Khonsu. He has thousands of worshippers around the world, if not millions.
I felt the color drain from my face as the realization hit me. For whatever reason, I thought the OLG was just some small sect of crazies, not a worldwide phenomenon. Oh, millions. How can you be so sure?
It's all in the details, my boy. You see, their artifacts and symbols pop up all around the world.
Plus, their sacrificial killings are happening in almost every country, even if most of the deaths are seen by the regular folks as simple murders. Their patterns are very telling, for those who know what to look for.
And they'll never stop coming?
Janine asked, with a hint of fear in her voice.
Not as long as they have men to send,
the professor confirmed, and then he leaned in close for dramatic effect.
One thing's for sure, though.
What? I said with bated breath.
You two had better find this werepanther quickly, because if I was a betting man, I'd say it'll only be another day or two before they find the poor bastard in the woods with their heart cut out. Or worse.